Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
You're listening to Classic Business with Alex Forbes, who provide financial advice to employers and individual customers.
The Market Commentary with Michael Avery is brought to you by Peter Machlup Fine Wristwatches, South Africa's most trusted and loved watch trader.
Well, we saw shares globally hitting a two-month high today, the dollar swooping towards a three-month low after the Fed signaled smaller rate hikes over the next few months, following by messages from Frankfurt that the ECB is going to plow on. And Wall Street's obviously shut for Thanksgiving, so it was really over to Europe to do some of the heavy lifting, and it was slow going early on. It seemed a bit of a struggle, but enough to eke out small gains even on the Aussie today. Simon Brown, founder of JustOneLap.com. Welcome. And of course, we had the Saab playing Grinch before Christmas, 75 bips. Mm-hmm. What stood out for you?
You know what stood out for me, and it was the point that the governor made, and I'll quote you for it. He says, risks to the inflation outlook is to the upside. There's a lot of theory that everything's going lacquer and inflation's coming down, and well, it didn't yesterday, did it? But trending in the right direction, but the risks remain. And I think that is absolutely key. And I think the Saab would rather overshoot a little bit and then pull back more aggressively than get behind the curve, as is, you know, the Fed behind the curve, ECB, BOE, most central banks are.
Yeah, and that's where I suppose we can be grateful for our own Reserve Bank being ahead of the curve, so that when things start to turn, when we see the global cycle moving to an easing phase, we can be slightly more aggressive, and hopefully that'll provide the kind of stimulus that we need. But one also has to be mindful that you can only stimulate an economy so much before Eskom will turn up and turn your lights off and say, right, well, that's your limit to growth, and that still remains the binding constraint. It's all of those structural issues, but I don't want to get bogged down in that because there's lots of earnings out today. Mr. Price, I would love to be able to chat to the CEO of Mr. Price. He doesn't speak to the media. And I, you know, if you look at Mr. Price, if you look at Pepco even, I think both of them need to start watching Retailability, which is the business that bought over the struggling Edcon, which seems to be eating both of their lunch at the moment.
Yeah, I got to say, by Mr. Price's high standards, I'm going to say it was a weak set of numbers. I know they would argue, and you know, to your point about infrastructure, everyone's worried about their ability to get electrical supply. Mr. Price, no different there. But the numbers, I thought, were absolutely not knocked out the park. I mean, this is the half year to October, to 1st of October. So, you know, there's base effect in the numbers, and they're just not stomping it out as we expected. And Mr. Price really has a long and glorious track record of absolute great results, and I thought this really was a mediocre set of numbers. And I got to say, you mentioned Pepco. I think Pepco, same story there as well.
Yeah, well, and that's what surprised me, because both of these, you could call them both Mr. Reliable, and they weren't with the set of numbers. So that's why I'm looking at Retailability probably being the one that's coming in there and eating their lunch a little bit. When you look at Mr. Reliable in the property space, in the REIT space, Norbert Sasser has built a reputation at Growthpoint for being pretty much the standout in what has been an unloved sector after COVID and all the financial engineering that we saw. But still, if you look at it, the vacancy in its South African office portfolio, 21.4%. Jeepers. I mean, when is that going to start coming down? And when do you actually, as a REIT, start saying, we need to turn these things into theme parks or retail high-rise buildings? I mean, you can't sit with this forever.
You absolutely can't. And you know, there's a company in the US called Castle with a K, and they track office return to work in 10 major American cities, and it is stuck at a high 40%. In other words, less than half of office workers in those major cities are going back to the office. In South Africa, I think our number is a little bit higher, but you know, at this point in the process, okay, maybe a stronger economy would help. But in terms of post-pandemic, back to work, I think most institutions have kind of settled into where they are. And I take your point, Michael. You know, there is a vast amount of office capacity out there, and something needs to be done with it. I don't know what it's, you know, is it accommodation? Is it amusement parks? Is it, I don't know. But it has to be something, because they're sitting there with these buildings, and, you know, the empty building is not free to run. There's still major costs involved in that process. And we had too much capacity before this. The property sector peaked, what, 2-3 years ahead of the pandemic, and property, the office space, has just not coming back at all. The rest of the update from Growthpoint, really good. Great numbers. Offers, huge problem.
Yeah, absolutely. The V&A Waterfront, the jewel in the crown, that continues to pump in the retail side. Things are looking good. You know, it's diversified out into asset management and that healthcare portfolio, date things and student digs, all of that lovely stuff. But if you still look at it, you know, the big chunk is in office, and you've got to start thinking a lot more creatively about what you can do with that infrastructure. It's built, maybe turning it into residential is not a bad idea, given that we still have a significant shortfall when it comes to housing in South Africa. But to do it in a way, again, that makes sense, given the infrastructure constraints in and around Sandton, you know, to be bringing people to live, work and play into a node that's, you know, already gridlocked a couple of months into the new normal after COVID is probably not the best selling point at the end of the day. Let's move on, though, to our last talking point for today. And during the World Cup, we have been building a World Cup portfolio. And what we're doing, and so far, just to recap the week, we've had MTA Suleiman of Sencho. He picked the US to beat Wales. Didn't get that right, but he selected a very interesting small cap TJX over in the US. Nick Kunze of Sanlam has picked France to beat Australia. He got that spot on. LVMH, great high-end luxury brand to add to the portfolio. And then yesterday, Wayne McCurry surprised me, because not only does he not really follow football, because he picked Canada to beat Belgium, which didn't happen, but he selected Barrick Gold. And we know he's certainly no gold bug. But it's an interesting portfolio nonetheless. Who are you picking to win today? And what's the stock we're going to analyze?
Yes, I'm with Wayne on the soccer front. I know the last time I saw soccer was in 2010 World Cup, not since then. But I got to say, in a World Cup of upsets and Africa being Africa, I'm going with Ghana to beat Portugal. But apparently, Portugal's quite good at this game, but I think Ghana can do it. I mean, I don't know. We'll wait and see. Because I got Ghana over Portugal. And then the problem with Ghana, tiny little economy, a stock exchange that is, I mean, it used to only open 2 days a week. It is so incredibly small. But there are some listed stocks, and the one I like is PBC Limited. They are cocoa producers, and you know, you can only grow cocoa in the right region, the right areas. Chocolate demand is constantly going rising, will continue to rise, and they're in the right spot. I mean, cocoa is Ghana, it's Nigeria, it's Cameroon, it's Ivory Coast, and they're a significant player. The problem with the Ghanaian exchange is liquidity, or should I say, there is practically no liquidity. But it's interesting business, and it actually makes some decent profits. It stumbled a bit in the pandemic, everyone did, but there are a significant player on the global stage supplying into European chocolatiers.
Well, I'm actually looking that company up because I've never heard of it. Well, how do you spell it? PPC? It sounded like there's a main company.
PBC. Yeah, it does. PB. P for Peter, B for Brown, C for cement.
PBC. There we go. There we go. And the Ghanaians, as we know, the Black Stars, love to produce the really good dark chocolate as well. That's a great selection from you. Simon Brown, founder of JustOneLap.com. Thanks so much for wrapping up the markets and your World Cup pick here on Classic Business. Take care.
The Market Commentary with Michael Avery was brought to you by Peter Machlop Fine Wristwatches, South Africa's most trusted and loved watch trader.
Listen next Thursday just after 6 p.m. for another Market Commentary with me, Michael Avery, brought to you by Peter Machlop Fine Wristwatches, South Africa's most trusted and loved watch trader.
Do you have a luxury watch you would like to sell? I'm Peter Machlop. For over 30 years, South Africans have trusted me with their luxury watches. I buy Rolex, Patek Philippe, Breitling, Panerai, Cartier and Omega. I offer honest advice, a fair price and a personalized experience from my upmarket, safe and secure office. Ready to sell your Rolex? Visit my website, peterbuyswatches.co.za.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice and impact.